Today on Real Radio.
God is not in this for victory. Abimelech is godless. Apparently Gaal and Zebal are all godless. The people of Shechem are worshiping pagan idols. Nobody's following the Lord. They all get it in the end for not following the Lord.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series that's taken from chapter 9. Remember, the period of the Judges is a volatile one in the history of Israel, as this section of the Old Testament illustrates. It also shows how times haven't changed, as the nation continues to live under continuous threat from her neighbors. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in his mini-series called Kingdoms in Conflict.
We so often assume, watch, that God is in something, but let's be honest. We want him to be in something, so we read so much into it, and then we deceive ourselves by saying, well, look, the sun came up today, and it even went across the sky and it set, God must be in it. Or this is going on, or I'm robbing the till at the store, or I'm cheating on my time, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing the other. I haven't been caught yet. Surely God must be okay with it. I haven't been caught yet. Ooh, watch out. God's not in it. Job chapter 8, verse 3 says, does God subvert judgment, or does the Almighty pervert justice? No. You say, yeah, but I haven't seen any justice levied against that injustice. It's coming. It's coming. You look around the world and you see what's going on. You see all the injustice? Are we not living in a time when right is wrong and wrong is right? But we've got people who have been arrested and going to jail of things that they were accused of, because maybe a disgruntled husband accused that Christian mother and wife. This happens in real life. As a church, we deal with that stuff. When the Christian husband or the Christian wife, and they're split up and one's upset and they call the authorities and make some lie statement, and the Child Protection Agency, for example, comes right on in. Things like that go on. Injustice. While evil is out loose, walking. Amazing. This week on the news, we saw, maybe you saw, where the judge, a judge, goes online and solicits a five-year-old little, did that judge know at the time that he was soliciting an FBI agent pretending to be a five-year-old? And he's arrested. You say, well, that's justice. It is justice. Thank God it was caught that time. But a judge, the defender of the law, of the innocent, of the defenseless, supposedly, things are messed up. Why? Because there's no mention of God anymore. The Lord's not allowed to be mentioned anymore. Deuteronomy 30, verse 17. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear me, and you draw away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you've crossed over the Jordan to go to possess. Listen to what God says, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death. Now, which one would you pick? Life or death? God says, life or death, pick. Blessing or cursing? Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God that you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. Did you hear? Listen, anybody, did you miss that? God's goodness is, I want you to live. I want you to be blessed. I want you to move into the land. Why would you not obey him and do this? You say, yeah, why would they not? They get pulled away. What is it that pulls them away? He said it. The desire for other gods will pull you away. And it's happening in the U.S. of A. But God's justice, my friend, remember, he said, don't do this to the people in Deuteronomy and to Moses. He says, don't leave me. His justice will come. And God is faithful to exercise his justice and judgment. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. That simply, it doesn't mean that God counts that way. It just simply means God's not in a hurry about anything. It's all going to work in the end. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. See, man's view is wrong. It's irrelevant. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Judgment's coming, but there's one way to alleviate judgment. Listen, church, if you're guilty of something, you don't have to lay your neck out on the chopping block and wait for God to come by and destroy you. You don't have to be fatalistic about it. You don't have to surrender like that and you know, jump off a cliff. Have you been busted by God?
Yes.
Then turn to him, repent of it, and guess what? Justice is lifted. The Bible says, listen, your sin shall find you out. It means that the Hebrew word means it will point at you or unveil you publicly. You see, I know a lot of non-believers who don't get unveiled. That's because they don't belong to the Lord. But the believer, God will not, he will not let the believer get away with much. You ever seen it? Have you ever bought a dog and you're trying to train the little dog? We had a dog and it's a beautiful thing, but we liked the dog. Apparently we didn't love the dog, but we liked it because we were training it wrong. Then the dog trainer guy comes over and he says, okay, this is what you need to do. And he puts on the choker chain and he goes, boop, like that. Ah! And we're like, oh my gosh, he's going to kill the dog. And we couldn't get her to walk with us. She was wanting to go every place. And he jerks the dog. She makes this yelp, and he's walking along, and he turns around, you know, and the dog wants to go some other place. He jerks it again. The dog screams again. We're about ready to, you know, call the ACLU or something. And the third time, in less than 3 minutes, the guy goes like this and stops and turns. The dog turned right with him. And then she started going like this. And he said, now we got it. Now we got it. And the Lord spoke to my heart. That's how I want you to be with me, Jack. You look at me the whole time, and I'll tell you left and right. I'll tell you sit and stand. I'll tell you go, get up and go listen. Just keep looking at me. And from that moment on, she would just look like this. Are we turning left or right? What are we going to do? And that's how we should be as believers. God puts a choker chain, as it were, on his children. And he says, listen, I love you. I don't want you to get hurt in this life. I want you to be okay. Follow me. And we've got to learn how to follow him. And sometimes when we don't follow him, it hurts. But he loves us, and he wants to lead us, and he wants us to be guided by him. Verse 34, so Abimelech and all the people who were with him rose by night and lay in wait against Shechem in four companies. And when Gaal the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entrance of the city gate. Now watch this. Gaal's the bad guy. I mean, they're all bad guys. But Gaal is going to attack Abimelech. So verse 35, when Gaal and the son of Ebed went out and stood at the entrance of the city of the gate, Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from laying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebal, Zebal was with Abimelech a minute ago. Now he's in the camp of the bad guy. But they're all bad guys. This guy gets around this Zebal guy. He tells Abimelech, listen, attack. Here's what you do. Get up early and lay in wait. This guy makes it over to Gaal's camp. the guy that's creating the coup, and he says, all right, hey, want some counsel? This guy's like either secret agent, double agent, a super loser. I don't know what the guy is, but he's dangerous. And they all get theirs in the end. So that's why this is a great chapter. It closes out really great. They all just get in big trouble for all their deception. But that's how it's got to be when you're trying to pit your kingdom against God's kingdom. And so Zebul says, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains. But Zebul said to him, you see shadows of the mountains as if they were men. So Gaal looks up, and you guys, it's probably Mount Gerizim. It's got trees on it. And the sun's coming up. Watch this. You ever seen the sun come up and the shadows move? Because the trees are standing, right? And so Gaal looks and he says, people are coming. That's Abimelech's forces. But Zebul says, no, no, no. It's just, you just see the shadows of the trees moving. This guy's deceiving. They're all deceiving each other. It's just this rip-off group. Why? Because there's no mention of God. God's void from this whole thing. There's no fear of God. There's no counsel with God. So, no, no. The shadows of the, it's on the mountains that it's moving. Verse 37, so Gaal spoke again and said, see, look, the people are coming down from the center of the land. And another company is coming from the diviner's Timnath tree. Then Zebul said to him, ah, where indeed is your mouth now? In which you said, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Are not these the people whom you despise? Go out, if you will, and fight with them now. What happened earlier on in part two of this message? This guy shoots his mouth off and says, hey, if you guys would put me in charge, I would handle Abimelech and his whole group. That's what I would do if you just voted for me. You ever seen that happen in life? We've all seen that happen in life. I can really take care of it if you just put me in charge. So now Zebul says, all right. You know, in English, in our modern day world, we would say, it's put up or shut up. That's what he's saying. Hey, you shut your mouth off a few verses ago. Well, here they come. So get out there and do your thing, big mouth. That's what he's telling them. But remember, God's provision is not there. And God is desiring to provide. I wonder what would have happened if Abimelech would have stopped and said, you know what, we need the Lord right now. What do you think? Have you ever seen God in the Bible refuse someone who calls out to him? I have not. There's times when I wanted God to refuse the guy that was calling out to the Lord. King Saul, for example, doesn't that guy just test your patience? And he's 4,000 years removed from me, and he still drives me nuts. David was amazing to put up with this guy, King Saul. Oh, David, I'm so sorry, my son. I love you. Okay, David forgives him, starts playing the harp. Saul gets jealous thoughts, takes up a spear and throws it at him. And I'm sorry, David. It was just a nervous reaction. I'm so sorry. I love you, man. Oh, okay. And then King Saul orders his men to go out and try to kill David. David was a fugitive for over 10 years fleeing from Saul's insanity. And the Lord is just saying, Saul, just turn around, man. Turn around. Just turn around. God is so patient. God wants to provide. It's much easier to give up and let him be the Lord of your life. He's got good things planned for you. God loves to provide. Genesis 22, greatest prophetic announcement of provision. Genesis 22, 6 through 8. It's an awesome story. You can read it in totality later, but in verse 6 through 8, it says there that so Abraham took wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. Isaac's about 30 years of age by this time, by the way. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Look, the fire and the wood, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice, for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. That word is Jehovah Jireh, we would say in English. It's all wrong. It's not how you say it in Hebrew, but you know what I'm saying. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Isaac's 30 years old. Abraham's an old man. They're going up to Mount Moriah, right near the city of Jerusalem today. As they're heading up, Abraham says to three attendants, three servants, you three stay here. Well, listen to this. You three stay here. Man, remember the order that God had given Abraham? Go take your son and offer him up as a sacrifice on the mountain I will show you. Now that had to be weird because number one, where do you take obedience to the Lord? How far do you go? Or how about this? How good do you know your God? Do you know the nature of your God? Do you know the nature of the God of the Bible? It has saved you a lot of grief. Abraham says prophetically, you three attendants, stay here. I and the lad, my son, we will go worship on yonder mountain, and we will come back and meet you later. He even tells you, Abraham tells them. The scriptures declared that they went on a 3 days journey. 3 days. In Abraham's mind, his son was as good as offered up because God gave Abraham the order for how many days? 3 days. Sound familiar? They go to Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah. Golgotha is on Mount Moriah. You know what Golgotha is? That's where Jesus was crucified. Abraham says to Isaac, don't worry about it. God will provide himself the sacrifice, the lamb. In the Hebrew, definite article, not a lamb. A lamb means any old lamb. God will provide the lamb. And you say, well, that's pretty cool. Oh, it gets better. Isaac lays down on the sacrifice. Can you imagine? He lays down on the altar of wood. What was Jesus' cross made out of? Wood. Isaac willingly lays down. Jesus willingly laid down his life. The father, Abraham, takes up the knife to plunge it into his son, believing that God would raise him from the dead. Because God had told Abraham, from your son's seed, I will raise up your family for all the earth. That's obedience. He raises up the knife and the angel of the Lord stops him right then and there. He says, all right, listen, right over there, there's a ram. It didn't say lamb. It says there's a ram with his horns caught in the weeds in the thickets. Sacrifice that animal right there. You say, well, how come it wasn't a lamb? Oh, you have to wait a couple thousand years and read the prophets that would come between now and then, and you would come out to another father offering his son up on Mount Moriah on wood to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus was the lamb. The ram got stuck in the bush. The lamb willingly laid himself up on the cross. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Provide what? The sacrifice. What sacrifice? The sacrifice you and I need. Jesus. John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need. Listen, we need to hear this tonight. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is all your need? Not all your wants. My God shall supply all your wants. No. Can you imagine? We'd be a bunch of spoiled brats. We'd be down at Toys R Us right now. No, he says, my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches that are in Christ. Salvation being the number one thing, amen? Secondly, losing the kingdom, we learn this, losing the power of God. Losing the power of God. God is not involved in this situation for victory. Watch what happens. You say, yeah, but they're going to win. Ah, but wait. God is not in this for victory. Abimelech is godless. The people following him is godless. Apparently, Gaal and Zebal are all godless. The people of Shechem are worshiping pagan idols. Nobody's following the Lord. They all get it in the end for not following the Lord. Verse 39, so Gaal went out, leading the men of Shechem, and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and Gaal fled from him, and many fell wounded to the very entrance of the gate. Then Abimelech dwelt in Arumah and Zebul drove out Gaal and his brothers so they would not dwell in Shechem. Verse 42, and it came about on the next day that the people went out into the field and they told Abimelech. So he took his people and divided them into three companies and lay in wait in the field. He's going to do the same thing he did last time. It worked before. He'll do it again. And he looked, and there were the people coming out of the city, and he rose again, or against them, and attacked them. Verse 44, then Abimelech and the company that was with them rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city. And the other two companies rushed upon all who were in the fields and killed them. So Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He took the city and killed the people who were in it, and he demolished the city and sowed it with salt. He demolished it and sowed it with salt. So he thinks he's on a roll now. Who needs God? We're winning this thing. There's been no prayer. There's been no consultation of the word of God. There's been no calling for the priest. Who needs God? We're on a roll. Everything's going great. And so, hey, you know what? Let's demolish the city and let's sow it with salt. Sowing the conquered with salt. Number one, in Israel and in the Middle East, but predominantly in Israel, when an invading army came in from other cultures, Persian, Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, when they came in and they conquered a city, this is what they do to rub it in, to make it really bad. They take the city and they cover it in dirt and then they stomp it down, and that's called a tell. Like Tel Aviv. Aviv, Tel, is a place where a war has taken place, a culture was conquered, they filled it in with dirt, and in that world, you either build on top of it to make a statement to the culture that you conquered, or you build around it, but it's a Tel. Like Megiddo, Armageddon, Megiddo, it's actually Tel Megiddo. In Israel, when archaeologists drive around and walk around, they look for a Tel of any size. It's a perfectly shaped bump. It could be huge. It could be maybe the size of this room. When they see it so perfectly covered, so perfectly arced, they start using ground-penetrating radar, and they realize this is a place to dig. There's artifacts in here. And it's amazing because you guys, any of you interested in archaeology, Shechem and these other regions, we're not reading some story here right now. This has been archaeologically proven, what we're talking about here tonight.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Kingdoms in Conflict. It's a look at the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 9, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We've also been telling you about Pastor Jack teaching a series currently called Life and the Bible, a collection of presentations taken from many parts of Scripture that offer up practical wisdom on not just what to believe, but how to live and deal with life situations. Some of the DVD subtitles in this series, Being a Christian at Your Job, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian in Your Home, well, now we're offering Being a Christian While Being a Man. Now, for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian While Being a Man, part of the DVD series called Life and the Bible. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and mention it by title, Being a Christian While Being a Man. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-RADIO. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And you can always visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.